back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Tuesday. A little dreary out there, but it's NCAA tournament time. It's NBA time. A lot of stuff going on. It's free agent NFL football time. My next guest, he is always the best. Moved him up a little bit because I had an opening, and Tubbsy came in. Chris Tubbs, he's at CM Tubbs. Tubbsy, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Dean. What's going on, man?
Oh, buddy. So, just right out of the gate, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Now that we're past All-Star and into second half of season, the Minnesota Timberwolves hit a home run, man. Anthony Edwards is fun to watch.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, there's still a lot of debate. You know, when he has some of those poor shooting days, people are like, oh, you should have taken LaMelo Ball. You know, should have taken James Wiseman, all this. At the end of the day, you want somebody who is exciting and somebody who you can build your team around. And he's a highlight. Every night, he will give you one fantastic dunk. He'll give you one of those, oh, my gosh, moments. And I'm excited in a couple of weeks, Dean, when we start to get 3,000 people that have been approved to go to some of these indoor stadiums, 3,000 people at the X to see Kirill Kaprizov for the Wild. And you get 3,000 that'll be at the Target Center to watch the Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards. I think if you give him time to develop alongside Karl-Anthony Towns, that could be a very nice 1-2 punch. Anthony Edwards might be the most exciting player they've had, maybe not the best, but the most exciting player they've had since Kevin Garnett.
I agree with that, and it's really so for Midwestern cities, and I'm going to take Des Moines. I have my brother-in-law, his son. We always go up and catch a couple of Timberwolves games. Now, not during COVID, but whatever. And sometimes you'd go up and get to see a game, and like Karl-Anthony Towns wouldn't play, or another star from another team that somebody wanted to come up and watch wouldn't play. Anthony Edwards is a reason to go to the Timberwolves, and he wants to play every night because he's trying to get better, and that's what the Timberwolves are looking for. They're looking for a draw. I think they got it.
And at this point, the Wolves, Ryan Saunders, I think he got a little cute with the rotation, but Chris Finch is kind of letting the starters run a little bit more. He's changing the rotations a little bit, allowing these guys to get a little bit more floor time with the main unit instead of, you know, knowing that you got to sub A for B and B for C and D for F. And it's more of a natural feel right now with Chris Finch with this team. And when you've only won 10 games for the entire year, let's be honest, you just got to let these young kids learn and let them make their mistakes and let him develop. And that's ultimately what the second half of the season is going to be for the Timberwolves, watching Anthony Edwards develop. And also Jade McDaniels, who's been fantastic, but right now is in the health and safety protocols.
Once again, we're talking to Chris Tubbs. He is at CM Tubbs on Twitter. I think that's one of the more interesting things, the fact when the coaching change came about and everybody was like, oh, why didn't this person, you know, stay in-house and do that? Well, the reason that you don't do that is if you know who you want, and like you said, the GM, this is his guy, then you go get him and you bring him in and you let him work with this team. I doubt if they said, you know what, this is kind of the record we want to see. I just think by the end of the season, we want you to be able to walk in here and sit down with the president, the GM, and say, this is who I want. This doesn't fit. This is who we need to go after. And I think that gives him a perfect chance to do it. And from what everybody says, he is highly qualified to do that.
Yeah, and you know, you go from a guy in Ryan Saunders who, no disrespect to Ryan, he's a great guy, fantastic human being. He got the job because of the last name, and we all know it, but I feel like he was, maybe you could say he wasn't given a fair shake because of all of the injuries and COVID, and he had a lot of things going against him. At the end of the day, Gerson Rosas went into Glenn Taylor's office and said, all right, we tried it your way. It's not working. Let me go out and get my guy. And that's ultimately Chris Finch was the guy that he wanted initially, but had to wait it out. And the guy that you're referring to that didn't get the job, Steen, David Vanderpool, one of the assistant coaches, who was a big part of the reason why the Blazers have had success in the development of Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum and their backcourt there. One of the reasons why he didn't get the job, I know people are looking, well, you pass over an African-American head coach. That might be the case, but the Timberwolves, David Vanderpool is the defensive specialist, and this team defensively, that was their weak spot. So you can make a case that if that's his specialty, this team was not good defensively, so why would you give him the reins when the area that is his strength, they weren't getting any better? So Chris Finch, right now, you know, it's a different look Wolves, so we'll just have to see what happens over the next few weeks. And, you know, when they get Malik Beasley back and D'Angelo Russell, it might be for a handful of games, but we'll see what happens.
You know, we're kind of in the both, we're both in the same spot. Patino just got let go at the University of Minnesota. Steve Prohm just got let go at the University of Iowa State. First question, and then I'll do a follow-up on how well you knew or liked Richard Pitino. Can they find a better coach to come to Minnesota than him, since he already got a job somewhere?
I think they can.
Okay.
Let's be honest. When you're 42 games under 500 in the Big Ten, and you've gone winless in the Big Ten on the road twice in the last 5 years, there are people out there that are going to want this job. And yeah, Richard Pitino, he again, very nice guy. I only talked to him in group settings. I never had a one-on-one with him, but he was always very nice, very courteous. At the end of the day, you know, these decisions are never easy, but look at it this way, Steen. They had a year where you beat Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue, number 5, number 9, number 4, and number 20, respectively, in the AP poll, and you couldn't make the NCAA tournament. You wasted a bunch of really good, solid wins, and you couldn't make the tournament. That's obviously cause for concern.
And I agree with that. And, you know, it's difficult. I was one, you know, going, you know, not winning a game in the Big 12 for Steve Prohm, and looking at that. And I sat in here, and I'm in here to give my opinion. And the first off, I was like, you know, maybe he doesn't deserve to have his job. But then you see some other coaches out there that are, you know, either not treating student athletes well, not following rules or whatever. And Steve had none of that. And I'm like, OK, maybe I need to take a step back and I need to, you know, say, OK, he's the kids are still behind him. But boy, the fan base, you know, you've got to turn that back in. How can he do it? And I think Jamie Pollard finally said, you know, maybe he can't do it. So I think we're looking at the same kind of stuff. You can't go out on the road on the Big Ten and not win a game. So I get that. So I'm glad you gave us that insight, because that's all I've heard too. Great guy. And that's the same thing that we have now. He is a great guy. Great guys don't always win games.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to win. And he had one good year at Florida International. He had one good year, and all of a sudden, he pops up as the, you know, University of Minnesota. I mean, he was hired at age 30. He had 1 year of experience. And he, you know, the Gophers went to an NIT championship his first season, and he only made the NCAA tournament twice. I will say that I do think you're going to have to find somebody who's got connections to the state, you know, somebody that's got connections to the program. You know, whether you're looking at, you know, Brian Dutcher, who was, son of Jim Dutcher, one of the best coaches in the history of the Gophers. You know, maybe you got Eric Musselman, or, you know, maybe Nico Medved. I know a lot of people are throwing around that name from Colorado State, because he's got, you know, he can bring some guys that can recruit the state. You've got to be able to recruit the state. And Richard Pitino never connected with some of the players here. And you've got Jalen Suggs out at Gonzaga, Minneapolis guy. You've got McKinley Wright out of Colorado State, their all-time assist leader, Minneapolis guy. Both did not come to the University of Minnesota. Why? That was a big black check mark against Richard Pitino, the inability to keep kids in state.
That is tough. Once again, we're talking to Chris Tubbs. He is at CM Tubbs on Twitter. Okay, let's hop over before we get to the Vikings. I'll save that one till last. Minnesota Wild, 17-8-1. You know, right in the thick of things. It's just, you know, it's one of those. I've been up in Minneapolis. I've been to a Wild game. The fan, I mean, not having fans just totally, you know, just totally takes everything away from this. And to bring in energy, you know, it's the same thing, you know, firing. That was my other point. And I'm sorry, I'm going off the deep end here, but, you know, firing a coach during COVID is very tough too, because what they had to do was unheard of. And it doesn't matter if you're a professional coach, a high school coach, a college coach, it's crazy. But how's everybody thinking up in Minnesota about the Wild?
It's Dollar Bill, Kirill, and the rest, man. Kirill Kaprizov he might be the best scorer they've had since Marin Gaborik, and he's the most exciting player that I can remember that they brought in. You know, even with Zach Parise and Ryan Suter several years ago with those 7-year contracts, I think back in 2014 or something like that. It's Kirill Kaprizov is absolutely re-energizing this franchise, and they've done a good job, you know, battling through the physicality, and they've gotten good goaltending throughout all of this. You know, one thing they did do is a couple weeks ago, they had a chance to beat Vegas on their home ice, and they took it to overtime, and they only got 1 point in an overtime loss, and then they got beat 5-1 the next night. Well, they came back and swept a mini 2-game series from Vegas, which some people consider the best team in the West, and now they're taking care of business with the teams that they have to. So between Kaapo Kapanen and Cam Talbot, the goaltending has been solid. And Kirill Kaprizov has been absolutely, if you guys get a chance to watch 97, man, he's an absolute playmaker. He is so much fun to watch with the puck.
See, once again, just like Anthony Edwards, it's something that people want to go and they want to go see. Records mean a lot, but if you have something that you can go see, people are going to want to do that. You know, I think the Twins are still going to be solid. So let's jump up on the Vikings. I don't think anybody thought they were going to be real active in free agency. A lot of crazy free agency stuff going on, especially with the Patriots spending money when they never spend money. But Vikings kind of just sitting there with talent. What's the outlook on free agency? Are they, you know, waiting for draft? Not a ton of draft picks.
Yeah, they really don't have a whole lot of flexibility right now. You know, they're working on a restructure with Adam Thielen, maybe create a little bit more money. But they tried for Trey Henderson. They were in a Shaquille Griffin. The end of the day, they don't have the money that some of these other teams have, and they're trying to create space. You know, they released Shamar Stephan earlier today, so they created a couple more million dollars. But going out and getting getting Tomlinson to help on that defensive line, I think was, you know, absolutely huge. They might be the only team in the NFL with two Dalvins, by the way, Dalvin Tomlinson and Dalvin Cook. That might be a record. But, you know, maybe getting Anthony Harris, it sounds like he might come back because the safety market isn't what it would be. The big question right now, Steen, is about Danielle Hunter, because he wants, you know, he's unhappy with his contract, but thing is, he doesn't have the leverage right now because he played as many snaps last year for the Vikings as you and I did, and that's zero. So a guy coming off of a serious neck injury, this is not the time to say, hey, I want a new contract. This just is not the right time. But at the end of the day, you know, releasing Riley Reiff, they might, you know, Rashad Hill's coming back on a 1-year deal. They might, you know, it might be an open competition for him. You could look at Ezra Cleveland. Maybe you move the right tackle Brian O'Neill over there. They won't have a whole lot of flexibility in free agency. They're going to have to be a little creative when it comes to drafting and trying to work the salary in that way. But I would not expect the Vikings to be big-time players in NFL free agency.
You know, we got about a minute left, and I agree with you. And sometimes these guys wanting their money, and I have that same feeling sometimes. Like, come on, it's just not your time. But the fact that they can cut people so quickly and get rid of money, I'm like straight down the middle, 50-50. I don't know who I feel more for, because it's such a tough business. It's such a hard cap. It went $16 million less than what it was. I would not want to be a general manager right now.
No, I wouldn't either. And if you can get these guys in, Steen, and say, hey, we're going to backload it for a couple of years when the brand new TV contract kinks in, then you've got, because the salary cap is going to explode in a couple of years. And that's, if you can just get these guys in the fold and, you know, go goodwill gesture, you know, you're going to be able to kick the can down the road. But as for right now, yeah, a lot of these teams are dealing with very limited funds.
Tubbsy, you're the best. Thanks for hopping on so quick. And so it's always fun to talk Minnesota with you, buddy.
You got it, Steen. Anytime, brother.
All right. Talk to you later. Listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. A lot of news out there. If you want to check us out on Twitter, you can go to at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can go to the website, 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast, or you can listen to the show live. And I want to welcome in this next my next guest. He is Matt Nelson. He's wide right Natty Light at @MNelson_ISU. Matty, you and I have had this conversation, and now we get to have a different conversation, and I have all kinds of different feelings.
Yeah, I do too. It's suppose you should certainly start with the mixed emotion of it. You know, it's been a long time since we had a coaching search, and at the end of the day, there are real people involved. So I think Cyclone fans everywhere are feeling for Steve and for his staff today. But at the heart of the matter, it's a business, and Iowa State needs to make money on basketball. And the prospect of another 2-5 win season, Steen, was just not going to cut it. And I think that's ultimately why you saw Jamie make the move that he did.
And I agree. And I think with this year, that if we weren't in COVID or halfway through the season, if we were able to bring people in there, you would probably have to lower prices on tickets to get people to come in. And that's just adult fans. The student section and the students at Iowa State, from what I've heard and seen and lived firsthand, I mean, they were done, and you just can't have that kind of empathy when you have a high profile program like that.
No, I think empathy is the death of a good program, essentially, Steen. You can't have it happen, and there was definitely going to be that if we had another year like we just went through, and I think even still with a coaching change, there's no guarantee that it's going to go back to normal, but it's definitely the necessary step.
Before I kind of get into some of the things I'd like to see, not specifically a person, but we'll get into that too. Once again, I'm extremely happy with my athletic director. You know, not a lot of athletic directors would go live or on Twitter and, you know, say all the things that Jamie said today. He never surprises me at how well he handles situations. And, you know, that's a tough one, because that's the part that it's affecting all of us. We all liked Coach Prohm. Whenever you wanted to talk to him, he would talk to you. He represented himself in the program very well. But there's always that backside to that. And I think Jamie kind of hit on that today. Listen, it's not the person, it's the position, and right now we're in a bad position, and so I had to change the person, and I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I really like the way he laid it out. You know, if we're thinking about what do we need to do to have a successful season next year, this is what that roadmap looks like. And I think what they realized was the amount of wins needed, the amount of, you know, the level of success, it would just be way too much to rebuild with a coach going into his seventh year. That parameter changes completely when you bring in new leadership. And I think at the end of the day, this was really a lot about culture. You hear Matt Campbell preach that. And with Steve, we never really knew. The culture seemed good, but we never really knew what it was or what the system was. And I think that's, in my opinion, as a fan, that's the direction I'm hoping we really focus on in this coaching search, is bringing in someone to take the program and make it their own. And I think ultimately, when you look back at Steve's tenure, Steen, I think it'll be kind of defined by being asked to carry on what Fred Hoiberg was doing. And while he did that well for a time, eventually it had to become his program. And it just really never seemed to develop into that. And that's how I'll always remember the Steve Prohm era.
Okay, so before we hop into kind of talking about that culture, two jobs in the general area open. Indiana's open, Minnesota's open, Iowa State's open. Rank those three jobs in what's the best job and what's the worst job.
Oh, man. I would say historically it probably goes Indiana, Iowa State, Minnesota. Right now, though, I'd be tempted to I think Indiana's at the bottom of that list, Dean. They've been so bad. The Big Ten is so good right now. I would say Minnesota and Iowa State are probably about equal. With Minnesota, you get diminished facilities. You get a less successful program, a program that it seems like people don't really care about. But you have access to a humongous amount of top-end recruits in that metro
yes.
around Minneapolis that just keeps churning them out. And at Iowa State, you've certainly got good facilities and fans that can be really passionate, but there's not much right now to work with. So, but I still think that Indiana job, who would want to walk in and take that with the crazy expectations that fan base have?
It is, and I'm with you there. Once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He's Wide Right Natty Light at @MNelson_ISU. All right, so this is the few things that I went today, and I think we're on the same page. Number one, you need a system. And then number two, yes. you have to stick with your system. And number three, you have to believe in your system. I think all of those are extremely, what's important. And then I don't care if it's an offensive system. I don't care if it's a defensive system. But whatever you do, you don't recruit out of your system. If you know what you want, you can't just grab somebody. Oh, this guy's a five-star, well, he doesn't fit your system. Oh, I don't care. I got to have a five-star. Doesn't work. And programs across the country are showing if you believe in a system and you recruit kids to be in your system, you'll be fine. And it's like, you have to come out of this and really you have to, you got to hit the ground and you got to recruit your own kids back and you got to get recruiting. And the biggest thing that you can recruit is what's your system. Do you agree with that?
I do, and that's what I think. That's where teams are successful, right? Look at what Jim Boeheim runs a system. Scott Drew runs a system. I would say Chris Beard certainly does. There are other coaches that maybe have more, talent, and then the system fits the talent, and that works too. But I'm a big believer in that. I think that's if Jamie Pollard asked Steve Matt Campbell and Bill Fenley what they think. I'm sure they're going to come back with a similar answer. And when you have I think when you define that system, it's easier to chart your course. And that's where I think Steve Prohm was always at a disadvantage because he inherited Fred's and in the middle tried to switch to something he wanted to do. And it seemed that we never really got there. I think the other thing that I'm really looking for, Steen, is that he's got to know whoever they hire has got to know what they're not good at and what they're good at. And I think what ultimately did Steve Prohm in was, the staff around him never really changed. It never grew. It never adapted. And we continue to see Iowa State get out coached. There's obviously that stat floating around about, 0-13 in games decided by less than 5 points over the last couple seasons. Steve can certainly recruit, and you have to recruit to be able to compete in the Big 12. But when the ninth, worst coach you're going up against is Jamie Dixon, and you have to go up against Chris Beard, Bob Huggins, Bruce Weber, Bill Self, Scott Drew, Shaka Smart. I'm sorry, you've got to be able to coach. It's just the fact of the matter. So I think they've got to try to find a balance between somebody who can get the big guys and somebody who is going to be able to cut wood at this level.
I'm glad you mentioned Bruce Weber because I think that is a really interesting thing because older coach didn't oh he's going somewhere, he's just doing it to get a job and he had that team playing so well. Now, did they lose games? Yeah, they're young, but that's what I'm looking at. So, but all the rest is, or do you go young and hope that you bring energy in and just throwing, you have a Fred crowd out there. I'm not in the Fred crowd. I love Fred. I think Fred would rather be golfing now than doing anything, coaching anything, unless it was his. He doesn't have boys he can coach anymore. So I'm thinking, I don't understand that one. I'm a huge Nate Oates fan, but I don't know if you pull somebody from Alabama. I don't know if you pull somebody from the SEC to come to the Big 12. I wanted to see what you thought about that. I'm a huge Darren DeVries fan too. Wanted to get your opinion on that one. And then I thought of some, you know, TJ's out there. I don't know how strongly I am on that either. But you have some young people. You have Nedved at Colorado State. You have Adam Ebenecker out there. You have Jeff Horner. You know, do you try to go find somebody young that you can mold into your coach for the future?
I think you go somebody young who's got experience. Yes, okay. Nate Oates would be great. I know he was interested in the past. I still think if you probably kicked the tires there with the success he's had this year. He's maybe got no interest, but I guess as I think about what I'm looking for, to me, Porter Mosier, Darren DeVries, Craig Smith out at Utah State, those three all seem to be in a very similar mold. They're not young, but they're younger. They're in their 40s. They've had experience at, you know, pretty successful programs. Whether, you know, obviously those are all mid majors. It seems to me like they're good X's and O's guys. The more that I hear about DeVries, the more I like. Being Altman's recruiter at Creighton, and I think he was there with McDermott. I maybe have my ears off.
Nope, you are correct.
Being from what I've heard, very, very good recruiter. When he stepped in at Drake, Medvedev kind of left it a mess, and he's done really well there. Drake's a very good team this year. It's kind of hard to argue with that. He also is probably pretty familiar with Iowa State, being in Iowa and being around the Valley for as long as he has. Mosier, I think, is an absolute home run. He's a big process guy, play very good defense, surrounded with shooting. I think if you know, tempo, you can maybe adjust that a little bit. Big 12 teams have shown you can win with defense. It's Chris Beard plays very physically and plays really good defense. I think recruiting is maybe the question there, but the Chicago, Wisconsin area, that's where Iowa State gets a ton of recruits from. So that makes sense. Craig Smith's probably going to Minnesota. I would love him. He's a Tim Miles guy, but my guess is he's a Minnesota guy. With that job being open, that's probably where he's headed.
I agree
headed.
With that one too. That's why I didn't mention
a few other names.
I thought that's where.
Yeah, no. He's that may be a done deal. Yeah, that one's going to be done as soon as they're out of the tournament. I think.
I think so too.
For the Fred crowd, if you watch Jamie's video, he mentioned very clearly how financially we're hurting, and to have to pay a buyout and hire a new coach is not going to be fun. Fred's buyout is $10 million. Hate to break it to you, but that's not going to happen.
Nope.
That is way too much money. Fred's got a pretty good recruiting class coming in. I love Fred. If I were Fred, I would be golfing right now too instead of coaching, and I think that may be where he ends up long term. So, short of things, I think there's good candidates. I hear a little bit behind Dana Altman. It sounds kind of random, but Dana is kind of towards the twilight of his career. He's been in Oregon a long time. He's a Midwest guy. He's from Wilbur, Nebraska. There may be kind of a desire to come back home there, and I know Steve is really, really close with their athletic director out there, and I've heard through some of my people that Altman's always kind of wanted to come back to the Midwest. So I think he's probably not as high as maybe you would see DeVries or Mosier. The one that I haven't mentioned is TJ Altsberger, and I think TJ is probably the front runner. I'm just not sure how I feel about it, Steen. He certainly is familiar. You know, let's talk about him for a second, right? He's won the Iowa State job a few times. His wife is an Iowa State basketball women's player who is a really legendary, great player. He's clearly familiar with the program. He's recruited some of the better players we've had, but his track record's pretty thin. He was good at SDSU, parlayed that into a UNLV job, and they've been pretty bad the two seasons he's been there. And I know there's a rebuild going on right now, but if the guy can clearly recruit, but I could make the argument that that's what Steve Prohm could do too. He just couldn't coach. So is TJ Altsberger going to be able to keep up with all those great coaches in the Big 12 we just mentioned? I think that's the fan concern with TJ. But if I had to guess, I would say him or DeVries are probably a couple guys at the top of the list. And then if you're looking for a flyer, Steen, Bryce Drew at Grand Canyon.
I agree with that one too.
Bryce was, he was very good at Valpo. He took the Vanderbilt job, actually recruited well, but you're never going to win in basketball at Vanderbilt. Now he, in 1 year, got Grand Canyon, who's been D1 for like four seasons, back to the tournament. And apparently the decision for Steve's job when he was hired came down to him or Bryce Drew. So I think that's one we're probably not talking about enough.
And I agree with you there. And I'm going to throw this. I'm a big Drake fan, and I'm a huge Darren DeVries fan. And maybe for the Drake fans out there, and I love you guys and everything, but, you know, maybe Darren comes to Iowa State. Maybe you get like an Adam Ebenecker coming back. He's been on the staff for a couple of years now. I think it would be a youth movement, maybe. I'm just trying to be nice to Drake because, you know, and the other thing that you have, if Darren would come that way, oh, yeah, by the way, maybe you get a 6'6" Mr. Iowa basketball to come with you. So, I mean, there's – but I get Porter Mosier, too, because he's winning up there a lot, and it's not easy. You know, it's still Loyola, and it's a crazy school to get people into. It's not like it's UNLV, you know. So you have to recruit very smart, intelligent athletes that have to be able to get through that rigor of that school as well.
Yeah, and I really do think that's something Steve is going to look for, or James is going to look for, excuse me. Not necessarily, you know, recruiting to a school that's hard to get into, but you could make the analog that is kind of relatable to Iowa State because Ames is a college town. It's not UNLV. It's not Minneapolis. It's not the DFW Metro. It's a destination for basketball and not much else. And that cannot be the easiest thing to recruit to. And I think that's where a guy like Mosier or DeVries would have an advantage. I think Bryce Drew would also fit well in that mold too. And I think the risk that you always face with a mid-major coach is that you can't compete sometimes on the big level with a mid-major scheme. You've got to adapt to it, and I think those guys could all do that.
I got it. Well, we finally got to have this conversation, so I can't wait to carry it on next week. Maddie, as always, thank you.
Till next time.
Maddie Nelson, everybody. Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. Last segment of the first hour going to be me talking about just a few random things going on today. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or 1700 The Champ. Always go to the website, 1700thechamp.com, and download the podcast or join the show live. If you're going to do sports betting in the state of Iowa, please download BetMGM app. It's really easy to download. It's really easy to deposit. It's really easy to bet. Those are three great things. Special parlays every day. You have a sign-in bonus that if you use Steen 100, you can get up to $100 covered if you lose your first bet. If you bet 100 and you lose, you could get $100 back. Check out BetMGM app. It's easy, it's fun, and it's there at your fingertips. And also like to talk a little bit about Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Great place to work, a great place to bank. Member FDIC. Love having Northwest Bank being a part of this show. Want to thank both Chris Tubbs and Maddie Nelson. It's a huge talk about Coach Prohm in Iowa State and where Jamie Pollard's going to go. If I have, if I could put my two cents in for Jamie Pollard, you know, it's he's always that type of person. It's always in the back of his mind. So he's thinking two dimensional here. He's or four dimensional, however you want to be, whichever one is better. You know, I think he has someone in mind or a couple of people in mind, and now he just has to find out if he has everything that it takes to go get him. Once again, I agree with Maddie, and I think all of us have said this and all of us have talked about it. A great guy, a really good coach, and, you know, this happens everywhere. And you have a job to do. The job is to win basketball games, and that didn't happen this year. And when that doesn't happen, even though it is in a COVID year, you have to pay the price. And that kind of is what happened. The craziest story that I saw yesterday and again today. So the referees were all flying into Indianapolis. And six of them got to their hotel room, and the hotel room, their rooms weren't ready yet, and there were no food establishments open, I guess, in the hotel. So all six of them went to a steakhouse. They had dinner, came back, were checking, getting ready to check their bags, had to go through their COVID testing to get in. And one of them tested positive, and with contact tracing, since they all were eating together with no mask, all six were sent home. some big time referees, Teddy Valentine being probably the biggest one, was probably taking most of the A games throughout, no longer even in the vicinity. So buckle up when it comes to refereeing when we get to the tournament. We'll see what happens. But just so we understand what everybody's going through, the NCAA is very, very strict rules about what they're doing. And you better be following them. You better be getting tested. You better be doing your contact tracing. And you better be ready to make it up as you go, because you never know what's going to happen. So it's a crazy time. The simple fact that we're having the NCAA tournament is worth everything to everybody, because we've been missing it. But we have to follow rules. We have to follow guidelines. And hopefully we get through this. Just some crazy, crazy things. And hopefully everybody is... you know, everybody's starting to make their way there, so hopefully it gets done. That was kind of the biggest one of the day. I once again, when Maddie and I were talking about Jamie Pollard and his video today, you know, you could see two things. One, you could see how devastating it is to have to fire someone who I would consider, Jamie considered him to be a really good friend, not just a coworker. But a friend, and you could tell that it wasn't easy. The second thing is this isn't Indiana. We're not bringing some local donor in to take care of all the things that you need to take care of to get a new coach if you have to do payouts. So we're going to have to be very fiduciary in what we do. And three, that he wants you to understand that he gets what we need to do, and it has to change. And you know, they have a blueprint, and Bill Finley is a good blueprint. Matt Campbell is a good blueprint. Kevin Dresser is a good blueprint. Your gymnastics coach, and I apologize, I don't know their names. I'll learn them. The softball coach, I'll learn it. When you look at everything, the track and field coach, all of that, they have a plan. And it's, you know, it goes beyond, you know, it's a culture. We understand that. And we're starting to figure out what the culture needs to be. And we weren't there. So you have to correct it. And I think that they'll get it corrected. New Mexico. So here's the crazy thing about college athletics, too. And I was going to ask Tubbsy, and I forgot. And I apologize. I wondered if Richard Pitino had a buyout or if he was on his last year. I'm not sure. I'll try to find that out. But New Mexico, so he got let go last night. New Mexico hired him today. So, you know, and that's the other thing you have to look at. And I think Steve Prohm is going to get another job, and I think he'll get another job quickly because of the intangibles that he has. Now, hopefully, when he does that, he's going to take the items that he wasn't as good at Iowa State and bring people in to help him do that, and then maybe be able to do some other things that he is really good at. And I think that really good at is his relationships with the players. I think that's really good. But what you have to do, and I think that is the biggest thing, is you need a system. And we'll talk about that a little later today, too. NFL free agency, I think it starts for real tomorrow, even though they have been signing people left and right. And the funniest one of all is the New England Patriots have been signing people left and right. New England has been historically not active in the free agent era. But boy, they are now up to $137 million with another, I think, $7 million. So they'd be up to $144 million spent so far. They're grabbing things that they need. And the biggest one today, Hunter Henry from the LA Chargers is coming to New England. That kind of gives them that tight end that they've been missing since Gronk retired and then came back with Tom Brady. And I heard this today, and I think I'm trying to figure out if I agree with it or not, is that Bill Belichick doesn't have anything to prove either. He's won a lot of Super Bowls. It's no different than Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. The only thing he wanted to prove to New England he was still a good quarterback and a serviceable quarterback. Well, he turned out to be more than a serviceable quarterback. I do think that that Bill has to one up now, because he, all his Super Bowls are with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady has a Super Bowl without him. And I think that has to weigh on Bill Belichick a bit, but maybe it doesn't, because he's just a different, he's a different dude. He thinks out, I don't know, his earlobes instead of what everybody else does. And I'll be interested to see how they do that. They have defensive players that are getting ready to come back, but they are notoriously not good about spending money. And instead of maybe trying to help with some of the people that they currently have, they went out and brought in new. So we'll see how that goes. The most important position that they have, even with Cam Newton there, they want to be able to run the ball. They needed offensive line help. They lost their best offensive lineman, went to the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll see what happens. And looking forward to seeing what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs in finding a couple more tackles and a tackle in the center and just all the things that they need. So I'm looking for that to see what happens. LeBron James today, it's kind of funny, of all the teams, LeBron James became part owner of the Boston Red Sox today. It's the group that owns the Red Sox. It's an interesting, I didn't see him doing that, you know. I guess it was maybe a lifelong dream to have a little bit of that. So very interesting to see what happens. I know that Chris Carson from the Seattle Seahawks, Leonard Fournette still out there. The cornerback from the Seahawks, Griffin, he has a twin brother. He signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars today. And maybe the second biggest news today is Sister Jean has both of her COVID shots, being 100 and some. I think she qualified, is coming to Indianapolis so she can see her Loyola team play. I think that is awesome. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, maybe Sister Jean should have been there when the NCAA refs were there and help them out and get them on the right page, because that's causing a lot of turmoil for the NCAA. And, you know, when you're missing referees like that, and you still have the NCAA women's tournament, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. So hold on. It's getting close. We are a couple of days away. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Get your brackets out. Kevin O'Hare, Steen, going through our brackets next.